Welcome to my life. I can take a wild guess.
You know what's crazy? What is this?
Sushi means sex.
What is going on this show?
Is the lighter side or the dark side?
Oh, no, he didn't.
What did you do? Your pants? What did you do?
Yes, welcome to the Dark Mark Show Halloween special. It was a lot scary in the car, wasn't it, Joey?
It was frightening.
Yes, this is the Dark Mark Show. You have tuned in. We're back from a couple-week hiatus, just in time for Halloween. You remember Fafald Albert Halloween special. You remember the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. You remember the Paul Lynde Hollywood Halloween special. Hopefully this will top them all. And I am your host, Dark Mark, the goth comedian. Thank you for tuning in. We have a very special show. Josie Cat is here.
Meow.
You can't see her yet, but wait till you see her. Oh, my goodness. Even more frightening than ever.
Fuck you, Mark.
Jesse,
boy, that started off early.
Josie, can you say hello to the dark minions out there?
Hello, dark minions.
Okay, you've redeemed yourself. And we have some great guests tonight. Josie, it's frightening enough being in the studio with one comedian, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
You'd be surrounded by four.
Holy shit.
Very funny comedians, though. We have...
Good thing I'm by the door.
Well, that gives it a big Halloween effect when it...
Yes, when it falls over. Thank
yeah, it
you.
It's very...
That
it's
was good.
Riverfield.
Anyway.
Yes.
I was just about to turn the camera over to... There you go. That's a good shot. And, okay, now you can see Josie.
There you go. And
that works out good. On camera, we're starting off great. We have today.
It's another show.
We have today. We're a little out of practice. I was in New Orleans for a week, but we have the lovely, the beautiful, the talented, the woman. She's been on Def Jam. She's been on Sex and the City. She's not macabre in any way, but we're have her on a Halloween show because she likes Three Musketeers, and I bribed her.
Yes.
The director of Hollywood Outlaw, the producer, director of two of my favorite Roku channels,
woo-hoo!
Hollywood Outlaw and Maya, Maya DiGiorgio.
Thank you.
How have you been, Maya?
Nobody applauded. Nobody clapped.
Maya DiGiorgio.
Very
not even your friend who's in the studio. You're the studio audience, dude. Come on.
Because he's a producer. He's a slave driver. Yes. He's just watching my work.
Next to her, comedy legend. One of comedy's dirtiest dozen, which apparently is now down to comedy's dirtiest nine. He has been in
half dozen.
He's been featured on Unsolved Mysteries.
Ooh.
He's been featured on the Tim Burton Halloween special.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of interesting stories about the Comedy Store, Sam Kinison curses, ghosts, goblins, all of that. The very creepy but very funny one of my favorite comics, Joey Gaynor.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you. People in the balcony, I want
to... Joey, pull the mic closer if you can.
Oh, okay. How's that?
Is okay, that blocks Josie. Clearly. Josie, could you kind of slide up a little bit and kind of...
Hello, Joey.
Hello.
Okay. So,
is that better? That's
good. Okay. Because you know what's time for now?
No.
It's time for the Josie Cat Hollywood Halloween Report.
Josie, girl, you look so hot.
You found a new clip.
Push me down. Yes, Josie, what has been going on in Hollywood the last 2 weeks? I've been out of town.
Oh, my God, I can't remember what's gone. 2 weeks. Usually I can't remember what happened over the last weekend. Now 2 weeks. Okay. Filmed this awesome new show called Treasure King.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, Josie.
Well, I came in as a stylist with Madonna's glove from Four Rooms.
We were just discussing Madonna.
Yeah.
And we finally came up with
She got a Razzie for that one.
Burning Up. Mm-hmm. Her maybe her first video, she was a little fat in that, you said?
Yeah, that's what we were discussing, how fat she was in the first video. Trying to justify being fat in any video for myself. Thank you.
Well, then fat is up to the eye of the beholder, because I like a little junk in the truck myself.
Well, that's great, but we're in Hollywood here, yeah. So, you know.
I don't care if we're in Hollywood. I like a little meat.
They want transparency.
It works for men.
Transparency.
Funny men.
Yes, right. Yes. You know what
but
the problem is?
No good.
We're in between. We're at, you know, it's I'm at the in-between weight. If I had put on like 150 pounds, I'd be that funny girl.
You'd be Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know, I'm telling you, Charlie Murphy sat me down and gave me a conversation. He said, listen, either gain 150 pounds or quit.
Quit eating?
No, just quit the business.
Quit the business.
I'm never going to quit eating. Well, that's not an option.
Good to get.
He said your life would be so much easier.
If you were getting career advice from
heavier.
Eddie Murphy, I could say maybe, but Charlie Murphy, I'm not sure.
No, I'm pretty impressed by him. I mean, that's a guy who was not a comedian and became a superstar because his actual behind the scenes stories were so much more interesting than probably anything else that was out there. He was known as funnier than Eddie Murphy when he was in person.
Right.
So. Okay. And look at what they did to them. They turned them into comedy gold.
Yes. Well, speaking of comedy gold, Josie, what else has been happening in Hollywood this last couple weeks?
Well, Kim Fowley,
yes.
The legendary
producer.
We had
Kim Fowley on the show. Kim Fowley, who produced The Runaways, Kiss, and numerous other bands.
Oh, yeah. He put on an event, and I performed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty cool.
What type of
Lynch
performance did you
style.
Do?
Well, I sang I Want to Be Your Dog by Iggy Pop and had a girl on a chain, a very cute, large girl, and made her eat dog food.
Apparently the Halloween special theme is big ass women. I'm not sure how that turned out. And you have an upcoming performance too, Carrera, right?
Yes, yes. And then I performed the Zombie Walk in Long Beach.
That's right. I forgot about that. I was
out
of town.
Just in time for Halloween.
Tell me about the Zombie Walk. I'm from the East Coast. I know, I've never heard of the Zombie Walk.
Oh, they have a New York one now, too.
Oh, really?
Times Square. The Zombie Walk rules because everybody is dressed like zombies. And there's all kinds of zombies. I saw an Elvis zombie.
Mm-hmm.
I saw
Titanic.
Are
you sure it wasn't Elvis himself?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It could have been.
Yeah.
There's zombies that look like they just got off the bus.
We call them aspiring actors.
Oh my God.
Is there any AT&T zombies? The ones who just continually, I can do for you, sir. That's all I can do for you, sir.
Yeah, just all different types of zombies. Okay. That's cool. Never mind.
Interesting. I didn't know there were so...
There's a lot of zombies here in L.A.
Yeah, anything could be a zombie. You could take any type of theme.
What kind of zombie were you, Josie?
I was a zombie hooker.
Of course.
You have to be kind of a...
And that's very love is a battlefield. Very Pat Benatar. I love it.
Typecasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I co-wrote a zombie film.
We will talk about that, Joey. Yeah. You're also... So your band Carrera is going to be performing soon.
Yes, at Loaded Bar.
Right. When is
they
that?
They have a Sunday Bloody Sunday, which is their brunch.
When is Sunday Bloody Sunday?
On the 11th.
Okay, November 11th.
November the 11th.
Right, November.
No, the 10th. I don't know. It's Sunday.
This is the worst Hollywood report we've ever had, Josie.
No, they're always bad.
Except I love the makeup. So
the makeup is really getting into my pores. I don't know if this was the best idea.
So anyway. Josie, is that the Hollywood report?
Yeah, that's it. Goodbye.
Okay. So And also, I'm doing a show, November 2nd, my birthday show at the Ice House. And then we're going to have a party at Bar Sinister afterwards.
That's this weekend.
My birthday is on Monday. And I have two of my favorite people here, and Josie, that decided to stop by. Joey Gaynor, we're going to start with you. And Maya, we will get to you.
That's fine. I could just sit here.
No, because Joey's got some interesting stories. Joey is on the show mainly because, well, I try to get a lot of crazy, the usual people we have on the Dark Mark show here.
Freaks.
All the fetish performers, freaks, horror movie people, they're all busy tonight. But I was thinking, Joey Gaynor was on Elvira's Haunted Hits CD.
Really?
Yes. Is that right, Joey?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, Elvira's Comic-Con this weekend. Are you going to go visit her?
No, I won't. I have other things.
Joey, have you ever met Elvira?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
How did you get on the... And it's his Frank Sinatra version.
of the Addams Family.
Right.
Creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. You know,
I'm trying to. Where do these snaps come in?
That comes later in the song. Reed Petit. Yeah, I did the.
Okay.
No, it was originally on an album that Robert Aguayo had put together for Rhino called Rerun Rock. And then they started playing the song on Halloween all the time. So then when Elvira, which was, I guess, the same company, they just put it on there. And it seemed to fit on that album even better than on the Rerun Rock album.
Right. Well, what else was on Rerun Rock? That's what I'm curious about.
There was... Gilligan's Island. It was what was it? A Stairway to Heaven to Gilligan's Island, or Gilligan's Island to Stairway to Heaven, excuse me. And there was a bunch of stuff like that. I don't remember really because after I heard my song, I turned it off.
Oh, okay.
But no. I don't really remember. Usually when I hear my own song,
I turn it off.
Usually when everybody hears your song, they turn it off.
They took a lot of like sitcom themes, is what they did. They took sitcom themes.
Sitcom themes and fit them in with.
To pop songs.
And so you've been doing the Frank Sinatra thing. And let me introduce you to Joey Gaynor. Joey Gaynor is a comedy legend. There's a DVD out. The Comedy's Dirtiest Dozen that came out in the 80s. And Joey Gaynor's on there as well as Chris Rock, Bill Hicks, Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Jackie the Joke Man. Just an all-star lineup. Steve Pearl.
There's some great comedians on that.
And
Vidal was on it.
Right.
Some of the people are out of the business. Some of them just passed away.
Right.
You know, so it's,
and you can see Joey with the long hair.
Yeah, that's when I had hair down like past my neck and shoulders all the way down. Every time I see that, I'm like, you know, what happened? But
Joey and Steve Pearl apparently were hippies in the 80s. I don't know what happened there.
There was a lot going on at that time, you know. But if you want to see me tomorrow night, you can come to the John Lovitz Comedy Club, showtime 8 o'clock. And we're going to give some tickets away here.
That's right. If you call 1-800-893-9562, give us your best ghost story.
Oh, okay.
And because we could use some ghost stories. If you call in, get ghost stories, you win tickets to Joey's show tomorrow night at the John Lovitz Club, which is haunted. Is it not?
Yeah, there's something there. yeah, there is. No, I saw a dark shadow one day, just sort of like passing by.
Isn't Jimmy Walker?
Went to my eye. So, I really have no idea how they move, but I saw it at the corner of my eye. But the
was he Republican?
I have no idea. The strangest thing that ever happened was in around 1980, I think.
I guess the door's locked. I don't know.
Our
other guest is on her way. No, please, Joey. I was listening. Go right ahead.
There was a second incident that you had?
No. This was at the Comedy Store. This was going back to...
You know the Comedy Store's haunted, right, Maya?
There's probably a reason why I stay away from there.
Well, people ask me, like, why does stuff happen to you at the Comedy Store? And I'll tell you, it's a very interesting thing. The Comedy Store was a club called Ciro's in the 40s and 50s. And it was the biggest nightclub, which where all the major performers would come to debut their new show that they're going to do in Vegas or for whatever. And a lot of mobsters hung out there. One of them was a guy named Mickey Cohn. And I come to find out a few years ago that I had an uncle who was a bookmaker at that time, and he answered to Mickey Cohn.
Right.
So every time I have been there, and I did the, like a couple of years ago, I did their haunted tour. And we would go down in the basement, and stuff was just happening like crazy.
Like what?
They had a sensor that the light would go out if something walked, and there was, like, the basement became ice cold, and suddenly the sensor went out. The night before I was there, a paranormal guy who catches the voices on tape.
Right.
He caught some things on tape that were interesting. He caught a woman saying he's...
Paris Hilton?
No, it was in Paris Hilton. He caught a woman's voice saying, he's a wizard, he's a priest. And
about you?
No, nothing about me. He said, he's a wizard, he's a priest. And the guy said to me, this was on a Thursday night, and this was I'm there on a Friday night, we're going to do this tour thing. And the guy says, I can't remember his name, but he says to me, what does he mean by wizard and priest? I said, well, it's that Sam Kinison, and that's what they're asking. That's what they're saying to you. He's a wizard. He's a priest. They're talking about that. He goes, how do you know that? I said, well, we'll go down there tonight, and you'll see. So we went down there that evening on the tour, and he set up his recording equipment. And, you know, I said, okay, you said Wizard and the Priest. Tell them who that is. I told him who it is, but now you tell him. So he recorded that. He played it back. You hear me asking, and you hear a woman's voice go, Sam K, Sam K, like as clear as a bell. And they were stunned. And I said, look, every time I come here, stuff happens. And I enjoy it, personally. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. I've seen a few
things
there.
Sam Kinison is haunting the Comedy Store.
No. There's stuff there that haunts the place that's been there for God knows how long.
Call out for Sam K?
I was going to say, because, it's like...
There's stuff there that that's been there forever. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Oh, look who's here. Look who's here.
I think they're writers down there.
No, I don't... If they were, they got shot for whatever they were writing.
Josie, could you switch?
Yeah.
Oh, we have Bloody
is
here.
You want me to move? I can move. I don't need to.
No. You're here. We were. Do you believe in ghosts, Brian? Do you believe what he's saying?
Yeah. You know, I had a weird incident in my apartment, which is another Hollywood story.
Let's hear this.
Okay.
Well, and by the way, we're being joined. Should I give you a real name or the name? The.
Well, I'm Blood Meadow. I don't know.
Should I go? Will you want to go by Blood Meadow?
Yeah.
Oh, Blood Meadow is here. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
That's my real name.
Yes. Blood Meadow is here.
I no longer use the slave name my parents gave me at birth.
You want to pull the microphone up a little bit, Blood Meadow?
There you go.
Blood Meadow. This is Joey Gaynor, Maya, Josie, Maya's friend. I forgot his name.
Moshe.
I'm sorry. Moshe, I'm so sorry.
And we're here with Mark White, the Joe Franklin of goth.
The Dark Man.
Joe Franklin.
Anyway, Blood Meadow has a show of her own, Gothics.
Three X's. It's not for the reason you think.
That's deceiving.
Yes, we are not strippers. We are merely alternative models.
Exactly.
Wink.
Exactly. Wink, wink. And you look fabulous tonight.
Thank you. My costume is Queen Victoria.
Mm-hmm. I got that.
You can see that it is... You know, Victorian. It's a goth version. So the skirt is 10 inches long. That's all.
That's the perfect length for
that's
that
how
shirt.
You goth,
I,
that's
I,
how
I
you
like
goth
that.
It up.
You got to goth it up. You keep the hemlines up. That's how you goth it up.
Yes.
Okay. So Maya, you were talking about ghost stories.
Well, you know, I don't have many ghost stories. I mean, as a New Yorker, you have tunnel vision with everything, because even if there is a ghost, you don't want to look. You know, if you see a person in front of you, you don't make eye contact in that city.
Right.
So if you have a ghost, you also don't make eye contact. You know, just kind of, it could be a person or a ghost.
You just look around the metabolism.
You don't even know. You just keep going. That's how we operate. Okay. But I moved out here and I had this short dachshund. You might have met him, little long-haired dachshund.
I think I did once.
Yeah. And he was in the living room. So my friend was over she slept on the couch. So he was out there trying to, you know, be like, rawr, rawr. My dog abandoned me for some other people.
Aww.
I was supposed to come and sleep. You know, I pay for a pet to go sleep with my friends. Basically,
It sounds like your pet life has a lot to do with, has very similar to your love life.
Yes, very, very much have to. So anyway, one morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, the dog leaves the living room, stands in the hallway and stares up and starts barking at nothing. He couldn't bark. That was what was crazy. Anything else he would rough
He was not barking at nothing.
No, he was doing ha, ha, ha. He couldn't get a bark. He was terrified. He was scared to bark.
Kind of like a Lou Costello. Like,
That's exactly what happened. He was
right.
And he just kept sitting and he couldn't get the full bark out. And then, and then he flew into my room and jumped at the side of the bed like, pick me up. And I picked him up and then he just jumped under the covers.
You know, the population density of New York City and the fact that every building you live in has been lived in by thousands of people before me, the ghost density must be incredible. There must be ghosts in every square inch of every building everywhere.
You know, they could be in New York, but I think that they would have better sense to at least leave Manhattan Island, so they'd have some space.
Okay,
because no one's moving. Once you get an apartment in New York, you're paying too much.
Air out your ghouls.
No, the ghouls are going to leave. The ghouls are going to Jersey.
The ghouls you leave in, you try to get rid of the cockroaches. That's the thing.
Yeah, you know, because I'm telling you.
You're going to tunnel it over.
It costs too much. You live in a shoebox.
Right.
You know, you have like people sleep. It's ridiculous how we live in New York City.
Well, you never finished the ghost story. So what happened? So the dog.
The dog freaked out. And then all of a sudden he decided to come back in and hang out with me. I was like, oh, you remember whose dog you are? Who feeds you? Who takes you for haircuts?
Josie's playing with my clown. We're doing a show, Josie. Can you concentrate?
It's a clown.
Can you concentrate when a beautiful lady is playing with your clown?
The thing that happened to me at the Comedy Store that was actually quite frightening.
Okay.
I was locking up, and it was very late at night. It was.
I thought you were going to talk about a bad set.
No.
Some of the sets he's heard are pretty frightening, I'm sure.
Some of the sets, if you go there now, all the sets are frightening. But yeah. I was locking up, and it was about, 3:30 in the morning. And I went into the main room, and actually, there were two or three incidents that happened in there. I was in there with Blake Clark one night, and we were yelling, if you're here, come on out. And I kept yelling, you know, if you got something, come on. And an ashtray, flew from one side of the room and smashed above my head. And and then another night prior to that, I was locking up, and this is way before they did any renovation or anything, and it was still Art LeBeau's on that one side. It was just the Comedy Store, it was 120 seats or whatever, and then the main room that's there now was still Art LeBeau's. And I went, I had to reach behind the stage to turn off all of the lights outside and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I get up on the stage, and I turn off the lights, and I come back, onto the stage, and chairs are piled to the ceiling, which was, you know, so I just got the hell out of there. And then another time,
an interior decorating ghost and a cigarette-hitting ghost.
Poltergeist, I guess, or whatever. And another time was the one that was really a trip was I was there late at night and I was locking up.
Right.
And I heard women's voices in the ladies' room, in the main room. And I'm like, it's 2:30, 2:45. What are these women doing? They're not supposed to be. So I went in and I said, ladies, you know, the place is closed. You got it. And there was no one in there. But the voices that I was hearing were not 1980. They were, he's going to make me my mall. And a two-time and four-flusher. And
so they weren't totally awesome and stuff like that.
This was vernacular from the late 40s, right. Early 50s.
You got to believe in love, honey. Even when you're a ghost, get out there.
Let me tell you something. That's not far from what it was. And the scariest thing was one night we did a seance in that room with Kinnison and a bunch of us. We were all sitting around and we got really serious with it. And it got ice cold in the room, and we heard a baby cry. And part of the lore of the club was when Frank Santos owned Ciro's, a lot of gangsters, a lot of showgirls.
Right.
He had a nurse who was a retired nurse who had a room downstairs in the basement right below where the original room is.
Okay.
It was a room off to that basement.
Okay.
And if a showgirl got knocked up by a mobster, this nurse performed abortions there.
Ooh.
So there was some wicked
American Horror
shit
Story
going on. In the basement there. They want to sue me, whatever. There's a book right here that tells you everything. I was, you know, Hollywood Haunted. They wrote the book. And cracks me up because the stuff happens. It's there.
And this is a place where people go to laugh.
They go to laugh. But you see what manifests there is there's so much insecurity in the building.
Right.
That whatever's there that feeds on that just goes nuts.
Right.
And loves it.
Yeah, right.
If you've been there recently, my God, the
I have been. Yeah,
I can't go. It freaks me out.
You hear
a lot of voices. They're my.
No, they're the ones.
There's medication for that.
You know what? When I worked in Westwood, when I was running the Westwood Comedy Store late at night, and I was cleaning up and doing everything, I look over and I could swear to this day. I saw Freddie Prinze. So what happened was I was talking to one of the guys that worked at the Sunset Club.
Right.
And all of the bar backs and stuff, they were all from Thailand. Mm-hmm. And all these guys fought in Vietnam. They were what was called tunnel rats, which were the guys that went into the tunnels with a knife in their teeth and killed the Viet Cong. They fought that way. So these guys, as short as they was, I wouldn't mess with any of them. And I'm asking Ted at the bar, I said, you know, I don't mind cleaning up over there. I'm getting more money. I mean, I'm running the joint, but you know what happened? Why don't the boys want to go over there anymore? And he said, no, they keep seeing the man coming through the wall. And I'm like, wow. I mean, and I remember being there the night Freddie came to the door. He was really, the night he shot himself, he was pretty whacked out.
Were you there when he shot himself?
No, I wasn't in the room, but I mean, I was at the Comedy Store in Westwood and he came to the door and
right.
He was pretty whacked out. And then he left, and earlier.
So that's how you recognize him, because.
No, I knew him. I mean, I knew
Freddie. That's what I'm saying. Because if Freddie, if it was Freddie Prinze or Freddie Prinze Jr., I don't think I would be able to.
Well, yeah, you know,
one of them would be a ghost.
Yeah, one of them would be transparent.
Right.
One of them would say, "You owe me money."
But just stuff like that.
That's creepy.
If
Sure. And then you got to go on stage the next night and tell jokes.
It didn't bother me.
Okay.
It doesn't bother me because...
the comics dying on stage are scarier than the dead people in the building.
Absolutely. Let me tell you, the dead can't hurt you. That's all in people's minds. All this stuff about, manifestation and all of that.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm serious.
I know you're interested in the supernatural. So
no, there are incidents of possession. That's a whole different world. That's altogether different. Right. But if you got a ghost knocking stuff over in the house or whatever, just say you're not invited. Stop. Well, you know.
Okay. Well,
I mean, that's, unless you're so vulnerable to some.
I said that to ex-husbands, and it doesn't work.
Well, actually, I invited Blood Bow in. I don't know if that's is that a good idea. I don't know.
Are you my ex-husband?
Not yet. Hopefully soon.
Future ex-husband.
Hopefully soon. We'll see what happens. But Blood Meadow, I was watching the Halloween special of Gothics. And actually, I was going to say, you went to Release the Bats this last weekend.
Yes. In the most recent episode of Gothics, we were very pleased to have special guests, Jen and Dave Batts of Release the Bats. And I attended their 15th anniversary. It's a 15-year-old goth night in Long Beach. So if you really want to get dark... You have to go south.
No, you took me to Release the Bats in Long Beach. And yes, it was Orange County goth. It's a whole different thing. Yeah.
But they're blonde goths. It's a little different.
it's quite delightful. Well, and we've also attended together the Bar Sinister in Los Angeles. And it's interesting to juxtapose the two nights because I feel like Release the Bats is a little more death rock.
Yes.
And it's a little more music oriented.
Sure.
And Bar Sinister is more about 18-year-olds in their underpants, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
You didn't seem to complain about the 18-year-olds in their underpants.
No.
Where's the bar?
It's a Hollywood and Cherokee. Yeah.
Hollywood and Cherokee.
1652.
Speaking of Hollywood history, I watched a very terrible film on an airplane called Gangster Squad, but a character is shot in front of Bordner's, and I got excited, and I'm like, that's my goth bar.
Was Bordner's a goth bar now?
On Saturday nights.
Really?
And Wednesday.
Because it's a great bar.
Thanks for paying attention. That's where we're having my after party on Saturday is at Bar Sinister. Josie can't go, unfortunately, because she's got something else.
Yes, it's Goth Mark's birthday party at Bar Sinister Saturday night. Be there or be square.
That's right. So,
be there or be straight.
So, I remember I was we were at Bar Sinister. You didn't seem to be impressed.
I enjoyed it.
It wasn't goth enough for you.
I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed your company. And Dark Mark is a known personage. He receives much respect from the darklings and the elves and the fairies.
She's saying she ain't going out with you. All right, just get it through your mind now.
I didn't hear that specifically from her yet, but we'll see what happens.
Yet.
But my partner Hellfire and I just did the 7th episode of Gothics. Which is Googleable as Gothics with 3 X's. And
you have something special planned for the 13th episode?
The 13th episode, I think, is going to be a murder-suicide. And then the 14th episode will be our ghosts.
All right, I'll come down and check it out.
Yeah.
Like CSI.
You can film it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it'll be good.
I would. Yes, because I'm sure you'll make a stunning ghost also. So I wouldn't worry about that.
It's a really small difference.
Anyway.
Goth girl ghost.
There's a little bit of a heartbeat there. That's how you know. And you can tell that she's a Long Beach goth because she does have a little bit of a tan.
Stop it.
I didn't want to mention it, but...
on the radio, no.
We're on video as well.
On podcast, no one can tell you have a slight tan.
But it's also...
It's not that I have a tan, it's that I'm going bad slightly. I'm like curdling like a
she's
cheese.
Rotting.
Yeah. Well, somebody who has to do this.
You also have that Long Beach cadence.
Yes.
It's a different case.
No, but she's from LA. But you're from Portland originally.
I am from Portland. But of course, my speaking pattern is because I am a 500-year-old vampire.
Cool.
I wasn't going to mention it.
That's what I detected.
I'm from all over. Happy Halloween. Happy Gothics Christmas, everybody.
Yes. No. The Halloween is what we... This is our Christmas. This is the most wonderful time of the year.
Suddenly the world is made for us.
Everybody looks like us.
Everybody looks like us. Suddenly, people in my acquaintance become attractive, and I realize because they are dressed as zombies or vampires, I have a type.
This is your Christmas.
Well, how about a one-horned
edible?
This
is like Yom Kippur.
I'm like a satanic unicorn. Do you like this? Maya, do you like my satanic unicorn thing?
I thought it was showing.
I think it fell off.
Oh, there it is.
I thought it was a penis.
I thought it was a gnome hat,
but I liked it.
I thought he was
anyway.
Looked like a rhino. Kind of a rhino.
That's better.
Okay, thank you.
That's really good.
Right now, you look like Gothic Toucan Sam.
I thought he was.
That's what I'm going for.
I thought he was. I'm all full
of. Yes, I'm all full of fruity flavors.
Oh, Maya, boy.
Yes.
another woman that I've, I'm telling you, you're in quite an attractive sandwich there, Joey.
This is an attractive,
very funny sandwich.
This has been a great day for me, really. This is beautiful women, and
you're staring straight at this.
And it's just staring straight at Josie Cleveland. It gets better.
Anyway, so Maya, I was watching Hollywood Outlaw today.
Okay.
Your movie that you made.
Yeah.
And it's been a while. The first time I saw it was on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I saw it in like chunks, so this is like the first time I saw it all the way through.
Okay.
Two things struck me.
Okay.
One, at the beginning of the movie, and I don't know if you've made amends with him, but at the time of the movie, you had not, but Dave Chappelle and you had a falling out.
Yes.
Dave Chappelle was a mentor of yours, and you had a falling out.
Yes.
But in the beginning of the movie, he's like, Dave Chappelle said he had a plan, he hands you something, and it says Africa 2006.
Yeah.
Did you cut that in, or is that really what he gave to you?
No, I was making a joke that he ran off to Africa.
I was going
to
say, because that would be the creepiest thing ever.
No, because what the joke is, the quick little punch in there that is not appreciated, I'm sure, by him and his team, was basically that I said he was my mentor and taught me everything I know about the business, and then he handed me a brochure for Africa.
I was going to say, because that would have been so creepy if that, like, he just absolutely did hand
you
that.
That was actually Artie Fuqua portraying my Dave Chappelle.
I apologize for my friend Mark, whom jokes have to be explained to.
It's okay. It happens in my... He's like my family. It's like being at home for Thanksgiving.
I thought it was a joke,
funny.
But then I was like...
It's funny.
I was,
it's
well, here's,
a
th- here's what it is. Joey's creepy.
Well,
blood
medals.
Blood
medals.
He's not creepy.
Blood
medals
creepy.
Well,
you got ghost stories. You're very into the supernatural. Blood medal was blood medal. She's a vampire. Maya, who I've wanted to have on the show because she's great.
I'm scary because I tell the truth.
You're scary because you tell the truth, but you don't.
I was in a vampire.
But I'm trying to look at a Halloween angle for you, and I was really straining for something.
The Halloween angle.
Right, a Halloween angle for you. But you did do the last interview of Richard Pryor.
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, if you got to see Hollywood Outlaw, it is on our YouTube channel. It's on
that
our
is
Roku
scary.
Channel.
That there was a very well, that was very well, that, very scary.
Towards the end, wasn't it?
When yeah. Yeah. He wasn't the scary one.
It was really well.
No, that's what I heard. He was
the emotional highlight of the movie.
Mrs. Pryor was scary from what I heard. Yeah.
Jennifer Lee. You basically interviewed Jennifer Lee, his ex-wife.
Yes.
But it is probably an emotional highlight of the movie because you actually tell Jennifer Lee as you're interviewing her how much Richard Pryor means.
The world, to, and to she turns around and goes, Richard, shut up.
Well, no. What happens is...
And when I was sleeping with Warren Beatty...
No. She was talking about all that Warren Beatty. No, but what happens is he's not saying anything. And then you say, does Richard Pryor know...
Does he realize how
much people, especially comedians, appreciate him? And he was really in the late stages. And you hear in the background, what do you think he was trying to say?
I think he was trying to talk. He could talk at that time. I filmed it. It was hard to understand him.
Right.
She wouldn't allow him to talk.
Right. And she shuts him up right away.
And
but
she pretty much made it to put it in a position where it was really uncomfortable. She wanted to talk about, you know, how
her life.
Her life and how he abused her for the 14 days they were married.
Right.
And
do you think he was trying to say
help?
Get the fuck out of here. You know.
Or was he? Was
well,
he?
She, well, she didn't live there. She never lived with him.
Or was he trying to say that it's nice to hear that? I really appreciate that.
Yes, I think. Yeah, yes.
It is a very heavy scene.
It is very Halloweenish.
Mm-hmm. I have to see that. I have not seen the show. And Richard was what am I doing? Richard was actually very. I was really good friends with him, and then we lost touch towards the end, but.
Unfortunately, so did his children. But that wasn't on their
behalf. That wasn't their. You know, his daughter Rain is
I've seen Jennifer Lee. I've seen Jennifer Lee. I actually saw him at the Comedy Store. Before, in the 90s?
The children were banned from seeing him down to 40 minutes a month.
Right. I saw them where they picked him up on a wheelchair and put him on stage. And he was doing stand-up. And it was it was hard to watch because most of it was bad because he was in the real, you know, his MS was really bad. But there was about 3 or 4 minutes where he just turned it on.
Well, it usually helps when you give an MS patient their medicine.
Right, but there was like three or four minutes where you saw like, oh, okay, this is the guy. Yeah. And then, but Jennifer Leachia, she did sort of creep me out.
So you think people, whoever his caretakers were, family members or whatever, were not?
No, the kids were not allowed in the house.
So who was taking care of him?
A couple of Spanish ladies that didn't speak English that weren't registered nurses and kept disappearing.
And the ex-wife was kind of in charge of all this at the time?
She was his personal assistant, and then she married him after he couldn't speak.
Oh, that I'll bet she told him to shut up. I'll bet she told him to shut up at that wedding, huh?
Yeah.
Did you take her to be your wife? Well, no, shut up, Richard. No.
I heard he didn't know he was married again.
Yeah, it's
until
sad.
After the fact.
It's sad. He's.
But in the state of California, you can't contest that. The only person who can contest it is the person who is part of that party. So the children tried to contest it, but they couldn't contest that it was actually a legal marriage.
Right.
And the problem is that she couldn't. in the state of California, if your parent can't talk or can't communicate for themselves, mm-hmm. The children, nobody else in the family could possibly contest it. And his attorneys and trustees were all fired before in the last few years of his life, and his doctors.
Mm. And that's too bad. And you're friends with Rain, right? Or your acquaintances? You met her?
I think I met her like once.
So you guys are like Facebook friends?
Yeah, I see you on Facebook.
Okay.
Instagram followers.
I do too. But because I was telling Joey in the car that my comedic inspiration.
Richard Belzer was the one who was pretty much there. He's the one who produced my film. So he had all the, him and Paul Mooney gave me all that information.
I will not put my name on. No, I'm just kidding.
Was that Belzer or Mooney?
That was really good.
Belzer's like, hey, babe, it's okay, babe. Don't worry.
I got it.
Yeah. No, but Mooney's like, oh, go ahead, say the word, set yourself free.
That's great.
Go ahead, be white and proud of it.
I'll tell you, we got a talented people here on the
Dark and this set guy's yourself free.
Because this guy goes way back with everybody, and we were talking on the way over here, Sam Kinison, a friend of yours.
Yeah.
I was there
the night he invented, because I do not take credit for his bit.
Joey invented the licking alphabet.
Let's say this. That's been around for 100 years. That whole thing.
Licking the alphabet. Josie, there's some technique when you're in conilingus where you lick the alphabet.
This is great. Now I want my agent.
I don't need the whole alphabet. I just need B over and over.
Oh, you're a B woman. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It was on Sam Kinison's first album.
He was talking about.
Licking pussy.
Yeah. And
and then you can spell out words.
And he just went up on stage and did a whole thing about it. And I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah.
Because that was the old rumor was, you know, to be able to do it. And he was the first guy I ever saw go up there and really talk about it. Nobody would ever say that because it was like, oh, that's foul. That's and it's like, no, it's funny.
And Josie wants words?
Yeah.
What like do you like? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Mississippi.
Arginine. Ketoprofen.
Mississippi.
I like a man who can just lick the Fifth Amendment. That's just what I want. Just lick that.
Yeah, so I've done that in court.
You have the right to.
No, you mean the Miranda rights.
I want Miranda rights.
You have the right to remain silent.
Unfortunately, I never can remain silent in that situation.
Well, believe me, you wouldn't if I. Anyway, but the point
but
I'm
you
getting
had the
at,
right. You had the right.
So, but you were on the Tim Burton Halloween special.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Tim Burton had a Halloween special.
I never saw the guy. I never met him. No, what happened was he called me up once again. Come down to the Comedy Store. We're shooting a Tim Burton thing. Would you come down here? And, you know.
Okay.
So I said, yeah, okay, I'll come down. And they were asking me about the Atuk script. Let me explain.
There's a movie that was written that talk about an Eskimo
who's half white and half Eskimo, and he's looking for his father. And
John Belushi was supposed to do it.
He died. John Candy,
Chris Farley.
There's a multitude of guys.
But at the time, Sam Kinison got the script.
What happened was he got the script, Anyway, he's going to do this movie. He took sled, you know, lessons to with the dog sled and everything. He was
really,
yeah, yeah. He was really. And he
coked out dog sledding lessons.
He said to himself, I can a rod, I will a rod, I did a rod.
And he...
That's actually a good impression. Do that again. Mosh, motherfucker!
Mosh, you sons of... Oh!
Okay.
Anyway,
Sounds like the script is haunted.
Well, the script was haunted. I've never even laid eyes on it. I don't want nothing to do with it. But what happened was he had this big going away party because he's going to go do the movie, like on a... Start shooting on Wednesday. And it's like Sunday night. We're all up at his the house he was renting above the Chateau Marmont. So we're all up there, and it's a big Hollywood party, and it's great. And I'm checking it out because, you know, it's just fucking amazing. And Sam and I, we're, you know, everybody's having cocktails and whatever. And Sam comes over, and we start talking. And I said, boy, this is great, man. You got this movie, and they've been trying to do it for a long time. And finally,
his first starring role.
Yeah. And so, yeah, man, this is my first starring role. And, you know, man, we're going to bust out. And so I said, the script is really good, huh? And he goes, I don't know. I haven't read it. I'm going to read it on the plane. And my jaw hit the fucking floor. I went, wait a minute. What do you mean you haven't read it? You know, nah, man, you know, I'm going to read it on a plane. And, you know, and I'm going to improv a lot when we should. And I'm like, you know, I'm shaking my head. And I can't believe what I'm hearing. And I said, how long have you had the script? You just get it? He goes, no, I've had it for about 3 months. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. No, you see, I'm going to read it on a plane, and then if we have to make any changes, we'll just, when we get there, we'll do it. And I'm like, no, since you didn't talk to them, you had the script, you've never said a word about it. As far as they're concerned, every word is golden. You have no, right. You have not said, I don't want to scream in every scene.
Right.
You're saying that now, you know, and he got really pissed off because I, like, you know, held up like the magic mirror or something. Well, that's funny because it was coked up.
The coke mirror, yeah.
No, but, you know, that was the other thing. He would get mad because I wouldn't do blow. I didn't do coke. Right. And he would go, why don't you want to do coke? And I'd say, well, there's more for you. Oh, okay. You know.
That's a good answer. So,
but, you know, that's the rule. The person in the room who isn't doing the coke is the narc.
Yeah, but what was really funny was there were other people there that weren't doing coke, too, but they were passed out. Anyway,
that's a good excuse. That's the only valid excuse to not do the coke.
Well, anyway, he got really mad. Then he came back a few minutes later and he goes, oh, man, you know, and he's mumbling. And I just say, hey, man, good luck. It's going to be a great movie. Don't worry about it. And I kind of went over to the other side of the room because I didn't want to be involved in an explosion there because he really was like, oh, what, you know. And he flew to New York, and he was back like 6 days later.
Right.
Fucked up. Okay. And what happened was he got there, and they got into the hotel or whatever, and they were rewriting scenes, and he brought it to them and said, I don't want to scream in all these scenes. And they, wait a minute. Everything is already set up. Well, fuck you. And I go, boom. And that was it. And he was back, and he was really pissed at me because he thought I jinxed it or something. Right. But I just...
And Blood Bowl was right because John Belushi... Supposed to do it. He died.
Yeah, he died.
Sam Kinison.
John Candy.
Then they got John Candy.
Right.
He died.
Chris Farley.
And he died.
It's like 4 or 5 guys.
Right.
They all had a chance of being the most famous Eskimo character after Nanook of the North.
Exactly.
Right. They probably would have done better than Nanook of the North.
Anthony Quinn, who was an Eskimo who kills the guy because he won't sleep with his wife, because Eskimos, that's a gift.
You're watching different
bullshit.
Eskimo movies than we are, but...
I forget what the name of it is. I don't think it was Nanook.
Anyway, Blood Metal, being a 500-year-old vampire, as you are, I just got back from New Orleans. I'm sure you're jealous.
I am. Did you visit with the most sinister Marie Laveau?
I did not.
Did you
partake? Voodoo store. I'm sorry. Yes,
store.
I did. Yes, I did.
Marie Laveau.
Yeah,
it's
voodoo
like 3 foot by 3 foot.
Did you bring me the chicken?
It's pretty tight.
You didn't get a gree-gree bag while you were there?
I didn't get a gree-gree bag, no.
Did you bring me the chicken foot I asked for?
Well, we'll talk about that after the show. But there's some Twix and 3 Musketeers in there.
How about that monkey paw?
While you were in New Orleans, did you have a most sinister 5-gallon daiquiri on the streets of Bourbon?
That I did. I did do that. And actually, I was waiting for the vampire tour. I was wearing my black suit with a Dolomite shirt.
Classy.
And everybody kept coming up to me saying, are you the vampire? Where do we sign up for the vampire tour? Everybody thought I was a vampire. The homeless guy who came up to me was like, all right, man, put your fangs in. I'm like, I'm not a vampire. I'm just sitting waiting for the vampire tour.
I'm telling you that's going to work. You should. That works.
We're going to talk about it. We might have some new programming on Hollywood Outlaw.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
did you visit the mystical Anne Rice's house?
I did not visit the mystical Anne Rice's house, but I did go to the vampire ball, and she was supposedly there. And if you tell somebody Anne Rice is there for goth people, you know, Blood Bell, you know what I'm talking about. That's like catnip. That's like going down. Right.
It's like Joe Benitez signing in a comic book store. There'll be a line around the block.
Who's Joe Benitez? I don't know comic books. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know comic books.
Who's Joe Benitez?
I don't do comic books. I don't know.
Joe Benitez is a great artist who did La Mechanica and some other.
Jellybean Benitez.
He used to be the producer for Madonna.
That's a different guy. Joe Benitez is very famous for his Logan. There's a rumor. There's a lot of Benitez around there.
There's a rumor.
Frankie Pace.
I can't remember what Frankie.
So how did you get turned into a vampire, Blood Metal? Please tell us the story.
Tell us a New Orleans adventure story, and then I'll pony up. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I want to hear. We're running out of time.
All right.
I just want to hear about how you got turned into a vampire. I know you're eternal.
Time flies.
I know it does. Apparently,
there's only one way to turn into a vampire, isn't it?
Well, I heard about that.
There's a couple ways. I mean, you know, if a vampire wants to turn you, he can bite you. In my case, it was a lot like artificial insemination. I actually had to do a transfusion type of thing because I had no willing donors. But if you pay enough money, you know, you go to the special blood bank, wink, wink, and I dosed myself because I couldn't make a vampire love me. Like, I tried hard. I know. It's sad.
Vampires.
I kept hanging out with my wrists out. It didn't work out. So finally I took it into upon myself to DIY. And I've never been happier. I mean, I've never been happy, but.
That was great. Don't get me wrong. I've never been happy, but I've never been happier. I've never been less miserable.
Who's your favorite vampire actor?
Well, as far as actors go, David Bowie from The Hunger, Mr. Blaylock. I've been working with a director of horror films called Sarah Films, and we did a premiere last night of a short horror film, and I ran red carpet. The director is Gene Blaylock, and I said, well, you know who you should be for Halloween is Mr. Blaylock from The Hunger, David Bowie. And he's right. Oh, but his name is with a Y, and mine doesn't have a Y. I'm like, but it could be like a gothic Who's On First. Who are you for Halloween? I'm Mr. Blaylock. You're always Mr. Blaylock. No, I'm always Mr. Blaylock. Now I'm Mr. Blaylock. Do you hear the difference?
That's the second Abbott and Costello reference on the Dark Mark Halloween special.
It keeps on coming.
I'm Mr. Blaylock.
It could be Mookie Blaylock.
But do check out Sarah Films on the interwebs.
They do a lot of interesting projects.
It was adorable.
Jessica's going to start singing Pearl Jam in a second here.
I do want to share the time that I met the mystical gothic Anne Rice. And as far as vampires in films, kids today have no idea what a fucking sexy vampire is because Lestat, you know, was a 500-year-old rock star. And then the Twilight kid is some high school. He could be anywhere and he wants to be in high school and he wants to be a fucking Pacific Northwest hipster douchebag.
They don't pay homage to like Christopher Lee or Frank Langella. They're too pretty.
Bela
Lugosi.
Nosferatu. Who's the
Christopher? Max Schreck.
Oh, yeah.
Nosferatu is then Klaus Kinski.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's
there have been some really good vampire films, you know.
We like ugly vampires.
What was the one with David Soul?
David Soul?
Yeah.
Was that Salem's Lot?
Salem's Lot.
Oh, you know one that I actually like was Nicolas Cage, Vampire's Kiss, where he's not a vampire?
No.
Anything with him is just a no-cage zone.
Some of the best vampire films, though, come from Japan, and they are usually samurais versus vampires.
Could you recommend a title for us?
Not offhand because I took medicine, but.
So that's my problem.
Usually it's the vampire hunters.
I don't know what's going on here.
There's the vampire hunters. Godzilla versus the vampire. But there's some great.
Offer Blood Metal some treats, please.
And Mark, have you seen this one? This is about hillbilly vampires called Near Dawn. It's a family of hillbilly vampires that travel.
Near Dark?
Near Dark.
With Bill Paxton?
Yes. Oh,
that's
great.
That's great.
I screwed up the name, but that doesn't mean I don't love it.
And Billy the Kid versus Dracula, I do recommend. By the way, I was handing it over so that Blood Metal could get some candy.
It's gone right the fuck past me.
And it's gone right the fuck past me.
I'm so sorry.
Because you guys, I got to.
You picked it up, you put it down.
Oh, my God.
Maya's eating all the Three Musketeers. You ate all the Twix. You ate all the Smarties.
I just remembered vampires don't eat candy.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh,
she's a diabetic vampire, apparently.
That's depressing.
I was just looking for chocolate covered blood globules, and there's none in.
Yeah, see, it's.
Well, I've got some in my car. We'll have some after the show.
She ate them all. I feel like I ate them all from the layover.
It's amazing. This is. Let me ask you a question.
We turn you to the power of your television set.
When you were a little girl, I'm assuming you went for pretty instead of scary on the Halloween costumes.
No, I went for funny.
Okay, what was a funny Halloween costume when you were a kid?
Ricochet rabbit.
Really?
Yeah. I had the ears and everything.
Oh, yeah?
I'd be a sexy bloody one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not all about you, Josie. But when you were a kid, what was the best Halloween costume you had?
I always go for bloody, but now I go for slutty bloody.
Mm-hmm. It's a good combination. It's a winning one.
Yeah. Bloody and bloody do work on you.
Yeah,
when you were a kid, what did you dress up for Halloween?
I was the fattest kid on the block, and the one thing I learned on Halloween was mentally scarring, the biggest lie in the world, one size fits all. That's bullshit. I put on the Batman thing. It got as far down as like just under my chest, so I looked like a little pregnant boy with a Batman.
That's funny.
And people would go, look.
So you were like Batman with a half shirt.
Well, it was like a knock on the door. What are you, fat man? You know, and I'm scarred mentally. Right. You know.
No.
Here, have some more candy, fat kid.
My parents are dead. Give me candy.
Here's a diet soda. You know, there's some carrots, you fat bastard. You know,
that's very funny.
And,
it's very sad. It's not my favorite. One time, my dad took me trick or treating.
Okay.
He was an Irish alcoholic, and he's got a six pack with him. Yeah, he's got a six pack with him. He's drinking on it. I said, "What, Dad? Why are you taking beer?" Well, you know, we're going to do a lot of walking. You got to stay hydrated.
You know, smart man.
Yeah,
very funny.
I think the first like funny or like. The Halloween costume that I put myself, put together myself and I was proud of and excited about was, I think in sixth grade, I was an angel, but then I had, and I was just like basically a white fabric toga and then wings made out of styrofoam and staples. And
Stapled together.
And then, but underneath my gown, there was a devil's tail made out of wire. And so I was a hypocrite.
That was my first concern.
So you were a politician.
Exactly.
All right.
Very, very nice.
Angel in the front, devil in the back.
Yes. Well, when I lived in Whittier,
of course.
The building had a lot of, it was the whole building
haunted.
Was almost all Mexican.
You heard voices.
No, not at all.
Mexican haunting.
No, it was mostly Mexican people in the building. So I put on a suit one year and a briefcase. Yeah. I put on a suit and a briefcase and went door to door and I'd knock and I'd say, trick or treat. They go, what are you supposed to be? I said, a white guy. So it worked out really well.
You've seen him on television.
Yes. I'm a gringo. Come on. Give me some of that candy. Some of that. Well, then when you were a kid, what treat did you want to get and what treat did you not want to get?
I hate the candy corn.
I love candy corn.
It's the most disgusting.
I love candy
it's
corn.
It's like a wax disgusting.
It's got to
like
be
a waxy coating.
It's just sugar with
horrible.
Paint.
I love candy corn.
I don't care.
Distinction.
It's like
Sky made me candy corn cookies. They were so good.
I know you didn't share them.
It's like stale marzipan.
Trust me, everybody left after that show. They're always staying for candy.
No matter how fresh it is, it tastes like stale marzipan.
Oh, yeah, it's always stale, but it's still good.
It's got that flavor to it.
So you would like an apple better than the candy corn?
Yeah, I would take an apple with a blade before I eat it.
But the Three Musketeers you were all into.
Three Musketeers, right. I was happy. I was very, I used to like, pile them up. At Three Musketeers, if I had a Reese's peanut butter, those were good. Twix were good. They had peppermint patties. A nice
peppermint
special,
patties are great.
But that's a little mature. Then my parents would steal those from me.
I hate it when they would give you like.
You know.
Dental floss?
Shitty candy.
$100,000 bars.
Well, those are great.
Those look great. But yeah, when they would give you, like, those tarts, like...
The sweet tarts?
What about the generic candy?
Yeah, it's just garbage.
Do you guys remember there was some sort of awful taffy that came in black and orange wax paper?
It was garbage.
I was in the fancy schmancy neighborhood. They gave out the good stuff.
Full-size candy bars?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
My father would dump all the stuff out.
Yeah. Fun size.
My dad would say to me, listen, if you find a razor in that apple, just put it in the bathroom because I got to shave tomorrow morning and I'm out of blades. And he didn't give a fuck.
Well, I think on that note, where does the time go when we have four
hilarious
people?
The John Lovitz Comedy Club. Come to the show.
Well, Joey, since you're promoting it, tell us about the show. Tell us how they contact you. Since we didn't get any callers, let's hear how they can win tickets for your show.
They can contact, what's a good way to contact them at this? Okay.
Contact you, Joey Gaynor at Facebook.
Have them contact your Facebook. Yeah.
Contact my Facebook. I'll set you up. I will. Joey Gaynor,
first
Facebook,
person.
JoeyBook. Joey Gaynor on Facebook.
Joey, his last name is GayNor.
Send me
like Gay and then Nor.
Right, Nor. Right, Gaynor, like Gloria Gaynor, right, and whatever. Right. But anyway, send me a message. The first five people get four tickets apiece. Okay.
Say
you heard it on the Doc Mark show.
That's right.
You get free tickets. Joey Gaynor, follow him on Facebook. Do you have a website too?
No, the website's being burned. But the NSA is looking at it because I got a lot of friends in Portugal.
That's hard to do.
But I want to, and also a shout out to my friends at Galaxy of Comics. Because they'll cry if I don't say that.
And Galaxy of Comics, I apologize. I didn't know the guy's name. But
that's all right. It's my friend.
I know, but he's gonna be mortified that I didn't know the guy's name and that I didn't recognize
him.
No,
that was something else altogether.
It's okay. I'm trying to lead gracefully, Joey. Right. Let me apologize to your friend. Maya DiGiorgio.
Yes.
The beautiful, lovely
Maya DiGiorgio.
Yes.
You have two Roku channels. One that's just called Maya.
Yeah.
One that's Hollywood Outlaw, both free. With terrific content.
Oh, there's one that's also premium. You can actually.
I know. I saw the premium. I didn't order it.
That's the sexy one.
Please go and give me 5 stars.
No, after
dark.
I'm giving you lots of 5 stars. What else you got going on, Maya? Tell us about what's happening with you.
What else is going on? I'm in the middle of making an album.
Ooh.
But it's not a
comedy album.
It's not a comedy album.
You're singing.
I'm rhyming.
You're rapping.
Yes. Busting a rhyme.
Really?
Rap something.
Come on, freestyle for us.
Come on.
Halloween rap for us. We had Nappy T was on Flavor of Love.
You know
freestyle.
That's going to be, you know what? Bring me back, and I will do it. I will do it.
You're welcome on the show anytime.
We need to get Nappy and her, and they can have a wrap-off.
Yes.
Come on. I will pop a cap in somebody's ass. Let's go.
Okay. I'm in my bougie outfit. I'm doing my Connecticut thing. So
you're dressed as a yuppie tonight.
I have, you know, as a mixed-race kid, you have multiple personalities, and I'm not in that personality today.
Yes.
I am doing the concerned citizen.
I thought you were dressed as a Romney voter. I didn't know what was going on. I thought you were dressed as a Tea Party person. But
No, that would have had my teeth blacked out.
Which is the scariest thing of all.
Exactly.
So how do we contact you, Maya?
I'm trying to avoid that because every time I go on the air and blab about the Richard Pryor situation, I am stalked, hacked, shut down.
I'm sorry, I mentioned it. I didn't know
it was a woman alone.
Yes, leave me alone. So anybody out there, if you're looking for me, I am not in this city.
Right.
And you can find me on Facebook, but please don't go into my Facebook.
Right, I'm not gonna spell your name just in case.
Yeah.
And Blood Meadow.
Please Google Gothics.
XXX.
The enchanting and lovely.
And the XXX, I know what those stand for. And
I'm not sure what you mean.
Xylophone, Xavier, and Zung.
You can like Gothics on Facebook and interact with us. And I do want you to be my best friend, even if you are a stalker.
Oh, I can work that out, baby. Where you live?
Yes.
Listen.
Yes?
What cheap bastard repackaged the Smarties to give you three? What Smarty?
That's why I put a bunch
of... Repackaged the Smarty into three. These are penny candies.
That would be
for 10 of them.
Well, you know what? Now they're made in China, so they're cutting back to make more money.
And they're half made of melamine.
That would be the 99 cent store. I don't know. Josie, how do people get a hold of you?
Just Google me, Josie Cat, Josi Cat, Kat, and you'll find all my pages.
That's good. She's good. She's good reacting. You got to get this on camera.
We don't have this. Okay, we're going to do this.
Retake. Closing Halloween number here.
Okay.
All right. Insert memory card.
Okay. And also, go to darkmarkshow.com. Like us on iTunes. like us on Facebook, and have a wonderfully creepy week, everybody.
Like us. Yes, it's Tom Likas, and I'm not working anywhere.